So now, that is the context of this scripture when the Bible says that healing is the children's bread, meaning that healing is something that you got to get every day. It is something that a gracious God provides. Now, a parent that denies a child bread for breakfast in the morning is a wicked father or a wicked mother, and it's not common. So now it means that in as much as we as parents, human parents, know that it's important that in the morning the child must have breakfast of bread and whatever to go to school or before he goes to school, and that it is wickedness and we can't be wicked to our children, and no matter how hard or difficult we find us, we still try to buy bread so that the children will have bread in the morning. So now if we, being evil, could be able to stress ourselves to make this provision, which is our own part of deal, then what about God? So now if the Bible says that healing is the children's bread, it means that it's a privilege and a right, but it says children. It is a privilege and a right for every believer, for every Christian. Okay, but we want to look at why things are not the way they should. Is it that God is not willing to give bread? Or is it that we are not willing to eat bread? But I know that if healing is children's bread, if healing is weighted with bread, then it is either, at the end we will find out, that God is wicked and not offering bread to us, or we are wicked and not accepting bread from God. Yeah. So, when we talk about divine healing, we are talking about being made whole. And when we are talking about being made whole, we are talking about the three parts of man: spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
Now, this part of the three state of man has capacity to be sick. So when we talk about sickness, it's not all just about high fever or cancer or the things we can talk about. But we have three areas we can be sick. We can spiritually be sick, we can soulishly be sick, and we can bodily be sick. But what I'm saying is that divine healing covers the three. Divine healing does not heal you spiritually and leave you solitary and bodily sick. No. Divine healing does not heal bodily and leave solitary and spiritually. That's one of the deceits of the devil currently. A lot of people that call themselves healers and whatever goes on, and people are being deceived, and they make noise of how many crippled that walked in their crusades and in their programs. Now, cripple is a physical ailment, right? Now, if a crippled walked in your crusade or whatever, that's what we're talking about. You are making noise about bodily healing. What about the soul and the spirit? If the soul and the spirit was not touched, then it is not a divine healing. It could be any other form of healing. It could be magical healing. It could be any other form. God does not heal the body and leave the soul and the spirit. So we have to be careful when we are exposed and when we are deceived with so many things going on. I don't care about how many cripples that worked in your program or how much people miracles happen in your church or in your congregation. I care about how many that is going to heaven. I care about how many that are in good relationship with God.
Yes.
Because I know that if you tell me you have encounters of healing and healing and healing and no encounters of people being healed spiritually and soulishly, then that's not of God. It could be of something else. I am not a judge, but I'm a preacher of the word. Amen. So I am not condemning anybody or saying anything, but I am expressing the fact that when I'm talking about divine healing, I'm telling you honestly, there are other kinds of healing. There are traditional healing, there are medical healing, there are other kinds of healing, thousands of them. But as long as we are talking about divine, meaning that God is involved, divine healing is when God intervenes in a situation of sickness. And then one thing about divine healing is this. Let me state an example. If you have cancer and you tell me that God can heal cancer very, very much. We see it at the end. But if God heals you of cancer for the rest of your life, cancer will never come back. That is one of the signs of divine. God cannot heal today and tomorrow the sickness is back. No way. But we can get other kind of healing, tremor or whatever kind of healing from cancer, and we praise medically or whatever way, and maybe tomorrow we still find cancer somewhere. I am trying to differentiate between divine healing and other forms of healing so that you will get the fact of what I'm saying. I am not talking about every other kind of healing today. I am talking about divine healing. That book, that place we read in James is talking about divine healing. And that is what I'm talking about. When God intervenes in our situation and bring a resolve and a restoration.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. God heals and restores.
Yes.
Okay, so now spiritual healing is... Now, I want to talk about three stages of sickness and three stages of healing that makes up a divine healing. Number one is spiritual sickness. And of course, when you are sick spiritually, who is sick spiritually? Somebody who has not settled scores with God. Somebody who has some omission in his work and commitment with God.
Yes.
Please understand me that if I didn't want to use that general word, somebody who is a sinner, because as a Christian, I will not call you a sinner, but that does not mean you are without sin. There's a difference between having sinned or being a sinner. The only people we know that are sinners are people who has not had an encounter with God. Okay, so I didn't want to use that word sin so that your eyes will not be focused on one. There are so many spiritual sicknesses. One is doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, hatred, enmity. Now, understand that when we talk about sin, sin can be placed into two categories. We have spiritual sins and we have bodily sins or physical sins, whichever way you put it. And then I have just mentioned few of things that are spiritual sins. Spiritual sins makes you spiritually sick. So it means that when you are living in unforgiveness, when you are living in enmity, when you are living in wickedness, when you are living in unforgetful, you are so much, you hold so tenaciously to things and grudge over in your heart always. That is the greatest problem that a Christian will have. Unforgiveness is the greatest problem a Christian will have. When you are a Christian that is unforgiven, then you are not qualified for forgiveness. Mark 11:25 says, if you stand praying, I'm coming to that word stand. If you stand praying and remember that you have aught against any, stop praying, go and make peace, then come back and pray. He said, because if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So if you think that there is something I did to you or someone else has done to you, and you feel so bitter and said, over my dead body will I forgive him. Thank God for your life. It means you are also saying, God, over my dead body, will you ever forgive my own sin? So you are making the decision. It's not nobody making it for you. It is up to you to forgive and to be forgiven, or to refuse to forgive and never receive forgiveness. When we pray our Lord's prayers, me and you, we pray it every day. I think before the service goes on, we will also pray it. And we will say, forgive me my trespasses as I have forgiven those who trespass against me. Is that a conditional prayer? Answer me. Is there a conditional prayer?
Yes.
Yes, it is. I am telling God, as much as I forgive, forgive me. But if I don't forgive me. And that is the only condition by which we can receive forgiveness from God. Then, if I refuse to forgive and I don't get forgiveness from God, where am I going to? What is my condition? What is my position? Because if I have not received forgiveness from God, I have nothing with God, and I am not part of God. Neither am I child of God. So I am just like those who has never known God. Judge by yourself. If you can maintain your ego, continue to stand on your ground not to forgive, it's up to you. I am still coming back to this forgiveness issue before I round up. And I will tell us how it constitutes sickness and how it debars us from divine healing. Now, that mark says, if you stand praying, I want to say something that is funny, but it's reality. When he says standing means being upright, right? Now I am standing. My whole body is upright. I'm not sitting, I'm not lying down. Now, it means, if it is upright, then I am talking about it as being right up. And when we talk about being right up, it means being right up with God and being right up with our soul. That is not that it's not that Mark is trying to tell us that we must stand when we pray. No. Whether you are sitting down or you are lying down, you must be upright in your spirit. Your spirit must be right with God and right with yourself. So many times when we talk about wickedness, we are talking about an action being made to others. Wickedness is more of an action you make against yourself than the one you make against others. Because we are going through so many things we are going through because we refuse to be right. We refuse to do the right thing. And when we don't do the right thing, we are not doing God any good by being righteous. But we are doing ourselves every good for being righteous. Listen to me. If I forgive you, if you offend me, I forgive you. I am not doing you good. I am doing myself good. So the act of forgiveness is doing yourself very much good, as compared to doing the other person. The other person is not in question. So I had a privilege to have a seminar on forgiveness. That was in 1985. And after that, I said, God, I give everybody 100 years forgiveness in advance. I mean it. And since that day, even as you're hearing my voice, you already have that warranty. Keep on sinning against me for 100 years, I will forgive you. I don't need you to come and ask me to forgive you. No. Because I know I am not doing you good. So you may not come to ask me. But I do it because I do myself good.
Yes.
I do it because I want to be upright. Yes. When you see somebody who you call your enemy, what the first thing that happens to you? Your heart will cut. That is a spiritual, that we call it a spiritual accident. If you see somebody and your heart cuts like this, that's a problem. Solve that, settle that problem. Because you cannot see, it's not, it doesn't happen to anybody you see or everybody you see. It happens to those who you feel are your enemies. It happens to those who you have something against. Once you see them, bam, your peace. Once your heart jumps, your peace will lose you, will leave you, sorry. That peace that left you is the divine portion of God inside of you. Now, there is the sight of that person awakens enmity that was in you. It awakens the bitterness you have against that person. So that is why when you see him, your heart skips. And the whole wickedness and evil you want to meet. Because when you are angry, you want to revenge, right? You want to turn back. So all those anger and bitterness and the plan of evil you have comes up. And the Spirit of God. Because the peace we have is the peace that is from God. When God is out, peace is out. And when peace is out, peace is available. Meaning that we are tearing ourselves into pieces. So spiritual sins are so deadly that when you have 1 John chapter 3, I think from verse 15 says, he said that he that loveth is of God. For God is love. But he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know, you don't say you don't know, you know. He said, and we know that there is no eternal life abiding in him. Hatred takes away eternity. When we talk about eternity, we're talking about God. God cannot coexist inside of us with enmity and wickedness and evil. Remember, I said these are spiritual sins. Meaning that if you are unforgiven, if you are always bitter, meaning that the spirit of unforgiveness, spirit of wickedness is living in you. And there is no way the Holy Spirit will co-inhabit you with the wickedness spirit. Oh, no. It's not possible. He is a Holy Spirit residing in a holy temple. So it is either you choose God and him alone, or you reject God and accept the oath. So now, divine healing is part of the blessings of eternity. Now, while we live on earth, we have a shadow of things that will come. Now, in eternity, when we go in eternity with God, there will never be anything like sickness. Do you get it now? So, while we're here, God wants to show us an example of what we're going to happen when we are there. So, when we talk about divine healing, we are talking about indwelling eternity, indwelling God, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who we shall be in his presence forever when we get there. But for now, he dwells in us, and he brings eternity. You know, when we do our prayers, he said, let this happen on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be like that in earth. So we are drawing down eternity we are yet to go to experience it here on earth. So it remains. So now, divine healing is a body without ailment, which we shall receive when we are transformed. Yes. Now, while we live here, we have a body that is subject to ailments. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now, okay, I will wait for that. I'm coming to that. Let me not jump into that. I'm being too fast. So now, divine healing is that divine divinity, divine presence we bring into us. And that is what is called divine healing. So that's why the Bible says that he that hated his brother is a murderer, and we know that there is no eternal life, no eternity in that person, because eternity has nothing to do with hatred. The reality, when we are there in heaven, are we going to hate anybody? When we get to God, are you going to hate anybody there? No. It's going to be love, love, love. So love is healing. Love is healthy. But wickedness and unforgiveness and hatred is sickness. Yes. And when you are spiritually unsound, then God can do nothing in terms of divine healing until you settle scores with him. That's why James says, is any sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil. Let's get this right. He says, if that person has committed any sin, it shall be forgiven. Before I go on, I want to let you know that it is not cowardice to go to your pastor for counseling. It is not foolish. It's not stupid. It is not anything wrong. It's scriptural. There are times in your life your faith cannot carry you. There are times you are overwhelmed with so much that you don't even know where to start or what to do. It is not because of you. It happens to anybody, even the highest man of God. It does happen to us too. And that time we look for someone else to talk to. There is always a time you will have to talk to someone else. He says, where we read in James says, confess your fault one to another. Yes. I am bringing the conditions. It's just the scripture we read. I'm not making it up. We are talking about divine healing. Confess your fault one to another. When you come to that point where you do not know where to start and what to do, you are so confused, you are actually almost frustrated. That's why we have counseling time with your pastor. Book an appointment. Come for counseling. Number one, with counseling, you can be restored. It's just about a lot of things happening. And it's just about rekindling your faith in God again. That's what counseling does. And the Bible says he will pray over you. Remember, we're talking about sickness. So it doesn't mean that you need to have fever to ask for counseling. Is that right? I hope you are following me. It doesn't mean that it's only called for. We are talking about people when you are spiritually sick. Yes. Most especially when you are spiritually sick, you can hardly help yourself. Okay, so he says, confess your fault. Talk to somebody. Listen to me. Confessing fault does not mean, oh, pastor, I killed somebody. Oh, pastor, that is not exactly what it means. But it can be that too. It can be that too. Because sometimes you do something and you find it difficult to forgive yourself. Have you experienced it? If you have not, then you are superhuman. Me, I have experienced it many times. You find it difficult to forgive yourself. You need somebody to tell you that you are forgiven. You need somebody to bring back the word of God to you. And the most important thing is, when God forgives you and you do not forgive yourself, you are still in the same place. God's forgiveness is not yet manifested in you because you are still feeling guilty within yourself. He says, confess your fault one to another. The prayer of faith, not your faith this time around, because you are down spiritually. The prayer of faith is talking about the faith of the counselor, of the elder, of the pastor. There are times you need someone's faith to carry you up. He says, the prayer of faith that the man of God prayed, The righteous prayer, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, he says, even if you are crippled in sin, there is an instantaneous manifestation of cleansing. He said that sin will be forgiven. There is an instantaneous forgiveness. It's just like something that happens when you say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. When a man of God leads you to make confession as being born again, there is an instantaneous cleansing that no matter what sin, God honors their words. He doesn't honor them. He honors his word, their words. The word of God in their mouth is being honored by God. So when you are not able to get yourself through, the prayer of faith made by an elder can set you free and heal you. And he says, anointing them with oil. Anointing is sanctification. Anointing is a physical show of the sanctification that happens in the inside. Anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that anointing is, of course, even if the pastor did not pour anointing on you, it still happens. As long as he's praying for you and talking, you know, counseling and praying for you, there is an instantaneous spiritual cleansing. That's anointing. Because there is always the presence of the Holy Spirit that will permeate the environment. And you are spiritually poised and cleansed. Also, I want to say, do not be deceived by empty pouring of oil upon you that is happening everywhere in the name of healing. I have seen thousands who has been poured oil, like up to one drum of oil. That is why I use the word, even when the pastor does not put physical, because it is not a mandatory of a physical oil. That physical oil is a symbol. It's just a symbol. It's not the reality. It's just a symbol. So if there is no presence of God and I pour oil on you, is anything going to happen? Nothing. So the thing does not happen because oil is poured on you, but it happened because spiritual oil was released even before the physical oil was done. We have to understand what is the difference between shadows and realities. We have to understand. We ought to understand what is symbol. If something symbolizes something, that thing that symbolizes something is not important. What is important is what it symbolizes. Amen. When you are emotionally destabilized, you are sick. It has to do with, you know, sometimes relationship issues, sometimes husband and wife issues, sometimes disappointment, sometimes breach of trust, sometimes so many things could make us get off balance emotionally. If we keep the law of God, if we obey God, if we are intact spiritually, where I was coming from, then it becomes difficult to fall into this category of solid sin. It becomes difficult to be destabilized emotionally. Why? Because you are in tune with God. And you love, as the commandment of God says, love your neighbor. Love everyone. What is love? The virtues of love says that love does not seek its own. Love is not selfish. Love is not easily offended, right? Love suffers long. You know, love is patient. It suffers long. So now, if spiritual part of you is good, then the soulish will have, okay, will be okay, because the love is there. It's in your heart. You are loving unconditionally. Meaning, you love me not because of the way I treat you, but because the love of God is already shed abroad in your heart, that you cannot help it but love. So even when I hurt you and do something bad, love covers a multitude of sin. So even when I hurt you, because you love me, you find it difficult to get hurt or to get bear grudges against me. There is no place in your heart for grudges. There is no place in your heart for enmity. Yes, you can feel offended in a minute and in the next minute. Anyway, it's okay. That's part of it. That's the way I do it. I won't say that if you slap me now, I won't laugh or I won't cry. I might not promise you that because the slap might be too painful. What I promise you is that I'm not going to slap back. But am I going to give you a handshake for slapping me? No, I can't promise you that. I will just look at you like the other part of me will want to come back. Then I will do like this. I will push it down. Let me tell you the reality. That old man you dealt with in the cross is not dead yet, though. He's somewhere. He's inside. And it will occasionally want to come up. In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says, now do not fulfill the lust of the flesh which is in you. Remember, they are there. No matter how holy and how sanctified you are, those things are still there. The hormones are there. Everything is there. They are not dead. But Colossians advises, Paul advises in Colossians, put them to death. They cannot die final death until this body is taken away. They will always want to arise from time to time. But our constant duty is to subdue them and put them to death. But for spiritual sins, which is the one I've talked about, they should be out and out forever. And when we talk about bodily sickness, we have ailment. I've just said a little bit about it. But medical science has also recognized that most of the ailment we have in our body is as a result of our soulish imbalance. Yes. High blood pressure and so many things has to do with emotions, has to do with excitement, has to do with so many things. And the Bible says, if any happy, happy is a kind of excitement. There are positive excitement that is negative one. Happiness is